The story of the chief of the Genesis, such as Abraham, is not the story about how to receive blessings, but it's how God raised his kingdom through the people like Abraham who listened to his calling and realized their true identity in a corrupt world. So through the lives of the characters in the story, we can see what is the life of the faith, who is the God, how God make a people know their identity. We should pay close attention to the story of the Bible with this understanding. So we have looked at the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's case is so observed. That is show the current state of the world we live in today. Through the process of the Jacob's transformation, we can know what the right faith is, why we live on this earth, as well as the right identity of the Christian who live on this earth as person of God. So Jacob's life, even life of Israel across the Red Sea, still wandering around the wilderness. So from the Jacob's life, even though we attend the church today and come to the church every week, we need to look at our lives and it's the similarity with the Jacob's. So when we look at the first mention of Jacob's family tree in chapter 37, the continuing story from the chapter 37 about the extension of Jacob's life needs to be examined. We must learn the lesson from the domino effect of Jacob's life. Jacob feared man rather than God, and the result of his life, because of he had a faith of his own thought, continued to develop in history and through his family tree. God shows us how to live without collapsing in our twisted life like Jacob did. That's the story of the chapter 37. After they had an incident at Shechem, went through the battle to Bethlehem and settled in Hebron. So Jacob's life in Shechem and battle, even after he realized a new purpose of life, the level of his life still did not change. So this can be seen through when he favored Joseph over the other brothers. So Joseph, who was born of Rachel, who passed, and gives the other brothers not just the envy, but the anger to kill. So Rachel, who passed when she arrived at Canaan, and Joseph was remain alone. So from other brothers, Joseph was envy, and even more anger to kill. Joseph is telling his father Jacob about all the doings of his brothers. And also he often dreamed as well. With the story of his dream, he had even more hate from his brothers. Then one day Jacob asked Joseph to go and visit the place where his brother looked after the sheep. So Joseph went to the land of Shechem. He heard his brother had gone to the place called Dothan. To the north, he went up there. So when he went up to the Shechem, he couldn't find his brothers. And then he heard that his brothers went up to the Dothan to the north. And he just chased up to them there. If you look at the situation closely, we can clearly see that there's no unity among the children. There are more hatred and they are planning to kill him. But however, they finally decide to sold Joseph to Egypt as a slave. But if you see the following chapter 38, it does not lead to the story of Joseph's capture. Instead of story of story of Judah is presented. So when Jacob's story turned to Joseph's story, then suddenly the story of Judah, it is controversial whether it has been edited or not in later generation because of the break in the storyline. So chapter 38 is about Judah entering the Canaan culture. So cross-marriage to the Canaanite women infrequent, as though he can lose the purity of the covenant people. It shows the reason for the departure to Egypt. For the people who know the history of the New Testament, it's also said to show genealogy linking Jesus' lineage. But the story of the Judah in chapter 38 is so unfortunate that I wonder if I need to put this story here. If we do not understand the background of the Bible, it's a story that can seem like it is put intentionally to break the Bible. Brief summary is that there was a relationship between Judah and his daughter-in-law Tamar, and resulted in the birth of a child. So people who are unaware of the background of story may believe that story of the Judah is even worse than what is shown in the current dramas. In fact, if we take a closer look at the characters we see, Abraham, the ancestor of faith, married his half-sister. Jacob was having two sisters as his wives at the same time. The Bible is also seems like a storyline of a horrible drama. Why then does Bible, in addition to this, show a very detailed picture of this kind of horrible dramas of Judah's relationship with his daughter-in-law? We're just having a closer look at the beginning of the Bible. Why do such stories appear on the Bible? There may be a reason, but above all, the obvious factor in this story is that the becoming covenant people of God cannot be done through one's action, and the salvation cannot be achieved through the man's lawful action. Is that irrelevant to the will of man and just God predetermined? That's why it's this kind of things happening. It's kind of predetermination. God planned every single person's life in advance. But that's not the truth. The grace of God has given to everyone evenly. Whoever believes in the Jesus can be his son, his children. But however, it only goes through to the people who receive and respond to the grace given by God. God does not force himself through the people, even though they do not listen to God's call at all, even if the level of response is as bad as Jacob. So God does not force himself through people, even though they do not listen to God's call at all, even if the level of respondence is as bad as Jacob, through people who are obedient, respond to the call of God, and follow the covenant of God, God works and builds up the kingdom of God through these people. The story of Adam and Eve being driven out of the Garden of Eden, the story of Cain and Abel, the story of Enoch ascending. So what history shows through is the story is not the word following by the God's prescripted scenario. In the end, regardless of the trend and the mainstream of the world, the people who are willing to believe and live by the covenant and the word of God, the kingdom of God can be fulfilled and the will of God is achieved through their choice of faith. Every single incident in the history of Genesis, through the following story of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is a clear repetition of the story of the Judah. In fact, all the Bible stories are based on whether or not to live on the basis of the value of God's word. It is about the story of a choice of faith. So, if we do not forget the key points of the Bible, we can live as a Christian who has been called as the light and salt of the world under the ruling of God. The most of Bible story is based on this. So we can gain the wisdom how to live this world today. So if we move on to the chapter 38, the story of the chapter 38 begins with the Judah leaving the family and going into the Canaanite culture and living alone. Judah's ancestor Abraham did not want to cross Mary, and this is extremely different and far apart from the first appearance of the Judah's marriage to his grandfather Isaac. Abraham put great effort to sending the servant to the Haran, his distant home, in searching of a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac's first son Esau also married a Canaanite woman and worried his parents. Judah does not just go to the Canaanites and adapt to their culture, but approach them and marry them without hesitation. This is the story of the beginning of chapter 37, which is start with the phrase, "This is account of Jacob and his family line." It shows the result of life that Jacob did not realize his true identity, even though he was called by God. So if you think about why did Judah live this way, the reason lies with the parents. Jacob, unlike Abraham, failed to educate his children. So when Jacob was living a life of self-centered faith, it seemed difficult to communicate gospel to his children, because he himself wasn't living by God's will. Because Jacob himself did not know his identity as a called person and was living by his own thought and feeling until he experienced a significant incident at Shechem. So through this, we can see that if the parents are conflict or confusion in their faith, they will not even think of communicating the righteousness of God to their children. If he himself confused like a Jacob with his identity as a saint and was stuck in a confused and a self-centered faith, how will you to become a priest of the family? Will you teach God's will rightly? So when you become the head of the family, you must raise your family from a young age with a strong foundation of the Word of God. So as a parent, you can become a priest in a family, become a leader, and live as a missionary to proclaim God's will and word correctly and accurately to his descendants. As I often said this, a dream in your teenage years and prepare in your 20s, so that you may live a life of influence in your 30s. Even if you educate your children on the same teaching, there may be a case of Esau and Jacob. However, as a parent, you must try your best regardless of the result. It is a firm belief of mine that the parents have responsibility to properly convey the covenant God has given. Although the general education of your child happens at school, parents are responsible for the biblical education of their child. Although the key church will do some educating, properly educating your children with the Bible is a job that should be done at home. So proper education of the Bible should be done at home. But it's not easy as would. It is clear the education of your children is easier said than done. Although it is not easy, educating your children, trying your best, is different to not trying at all. So you can't just leave on them to leave your children to the church education. Today, lots of churches, you can't really find the biblical education. That most of them is like praise and worship and the games and playing, entertaining. So you parents should educate your children with the history of the Bible and faith and mission of God. That's the responsibility of the parents. during those time of the education, because the conflict of the parents, the kids shouldn't remain without the education. The descendant of faith never flowed down to the bloodline. Even though Abraham was the ancestor of faith, this by no means that his sons automatically become faithful. Isaac himself became a channel of the faith when he went forth in response to God's call, even though for Jacob it took a long time for him to be on the right path. He responded to God's call and became a channel of faith. But even though Jacob was called, he does not know his true identity and was living a self-centered life. God called Abraham intent for him to educate his children with the Bible. When Jacob does not have the right Bible education for his children, the flow as descendant of the faith almost ceased to be seen. The genealogy of the faith that Jesus will come, and through the looking at the genealogy leading to the David, it may seem as though the lineage is flowing down the line of the Judah. The pedigree faith that began with the Abraham is virtually ended at Jacob. The kingdom of God is made through the people who obey and respond to the calling of God. This is a genealogy of faith, which is the path through which Jesus is born. Therefore, the lineage through to the Jesus was not through the genealogy of blood, but was by faith. So it is seldom those who believe in God, when they despise the word of God and have not been educated, they gradually lose their identity. This caused them to betray and turn against God, forgetting the covenant and in God fall in a moment to betray and turn against God. As we forget the covenant and promise of God, the culture, the greed of the world gradually replace the promise of the God and eventually cause corruption. Therefore, the history from after Jacob shows the danger of forgetting the purpose of the existence, which was the initial purpose given to Abraham. The covenant given by God is continued from Abraham to the second generation Isaac, third generation Jacob, fourth generation Judah. Seeing how God's covenant with Abraham is being conveyed, you can see what the right path of faith is. From Abraham to Isaac, God's promises were firmly communicated. Jacob certainly has that promise, but because God's promise was not steadily flowing, Jacob's children seem to be very distracted in keeping God's will. His eldest son Reuben defiled his father's bed. Simeon and Levi get caught up in revenge. And Judah joined the Canaanites and chose to marry and live with them. It can be seen from their lives that the education of the promise of God became corrupted. Judah married a Canaanite woman and had three sons, but the Ur was the wicked man in the Lord's sight, so the Lord took his life. Judah belongs to Canaan. It seems like they did not have a good education in faith for their children. Although there was no education like Abraham, it seems that Tamar saw God's promise and action. I said before, even if the gospel and truth are preached and taught equally like Isaac taught Esau and Jacob, according to each person's own determination and choice, the outcome will be different. As Jacob and Esau followed a completely different path, the first son of Judah and his wife was a marriage. But they walked on a completely different path and were not on the same page. A woman named Tamar, who grew up in the Canaanite culture, is moving into the life that values God's promises and covenant. Her husband, Ur, brought the life of God's immediate judgment. So the Ur, first son of Judah, died. The Onan, second son, became responsible for his sister-in-law. Then Judah said to the Ur's brother Onan, "Go and marry Tamar, as our law requires of the brother of man who has died. You must produce hail for your brother." So Onan did not obey as a child born to his brother's wife would not be his own son. So God took his life. This story that does not make sense to us today because of the ancient law involved. However, it was important at the time. Ancient Near East Hittite law section 193 has a similar statute. A biblical example is clearly stated in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5 to 10, when giving the law later. It is also a story of the Boaz, Ruth, and another woman in the genealogy of Jesus in Ruth 4. If you refer to the Deuteronomy, brother will be able to deny his duty of marriage law, but then the family had to live by the receiving blame, that it was a very irresponsible and poor family. The purpose of the ordinance was to protect the weak, and when they rejected it, they received the blame. So the Judah's second son Onan does not keep this promise because of his greedy idea. When he slept with his sister-in-law, he spilled his semen on the ground not to give his seed to his brothers, because he knew that his seed would not be his own. So he pretended as if he kept the promises and a covenant, but actually he didn't give the seed to his sister-in-law. So God took his life. God wants society that love each other and protect and the weak. However, Onan had no mind to take responsibility for the weak and has lived a life of desire to increase himself. So what do you think God will do when he sees society that desire to increase their own self today? God will see each man's selfishness and greedy life as he sees the secret sins of Onan. So we are not to live life like this either in Jacob or Onan. As we live in this age, we have to live the life of the wiping the tear of the weak and orphan and poor, helping and encouraging them up. The Judah had a third son, but he was afraid of he may lose his third son. Because Judah thought it because of the older reason of this curse is because of the daughter-in-law. But later on, when his wife passed away, he found the street woman. When he went out to find the street woman for his lust, and his daughter-in-law Tama knew it, and she pretended as if she was a street woman, and she had a relationship with the father-in-law. If Tama did not know how Judah lived, then she wouldn't be able to hide herself to having had a relationship with Judah. It probably that the daughter-in-law knew that Judah repeatedly had such immoral actions. We humans do not see anything when we caught up by in lust. So when we caught up by this lust, we cannot see anything. It can be drink, sports, amusement, a drug, and gambling. When we caught up by this lust, the result is very disastrous. So if you get even more caught up in a sexual greed like a Judah, consequences are even worse. While you're obsessed with the sexual greediness, you do not know that it is embarrassing for you to act because it is seen as love in your eyes. Then afterward, a shameful picture or movie comes out and finds it in a trap. They cannot be turned back. Later they realize after broke up, it wasn't love. It was a lust and greediness. We can see many cases through the news, and they realized it was lust and greediness. There are all these embarrassing photos that spread around all the media. When Judah was captured by the lust, he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. The 3 months after he heard the news, his daughter-in-law Tamar was pregnant. And he didn't know it was himself. And he ordered the daughter to burn the daughter to death. So rather than protect the weak, he ordered to burn her daughter-in-law dead. So if we look at the Judah, we can't see that it's any genealogy to the Jesus Christ, and it seems like it going through the daughter-in-law Tamar rather than the Judah. And later he repents, and he said he should have given the third son Selah, but he didn't. So it was his fault. But it is good to know finally he realized his fault and he repents. So rather than making excuses, and that we have to fix up our fault. But without accepting our failure and our mistake, we cannot fix it up. So based on the content we have studied so far, the key point in chapter is the kingdom of God is not made of the blood, but of the people who believe in God's promise and covenant, want to live according to His word. So it is no exaggeration to say that Tamar was the model of the life that lives by such a faith, and also she is the main character of chapter 38. Even though Tamar was a Canaanite woman, and culture of Canaan, which she grew up in Damascus, was a generalized culture of the society, but she valued more of the tradition of Abraham's family rather than the tradition she grew up. What Tamar, the Canaanite woman, did is could put her life into that. But Tamar, the Canaanite woman, actually put her trust in God and tried to live by the word of God and keep God's promise. So if you look backward on the genealogy of Jesus, the son of Perez, the Tamar, both of with the Judah, the genealogy didn't go through the third son Selah of Judah. So what is said is the bloodline of the Abraham is not going through, is more likely the line of the faith going through the Tamar, the Canaanite woman, who obey and listen to the word of God. So always I say, the Bible doesn't ask our capability or skills. It's more, it's asking the faith. So when Tamar, the Canaanite woman, knew the family of the Judah and listened to the promise of God flowing through the Abraham, and she believed it, and then she tried to keep these promises and want to try to obey the word of God. Even though her father in the Judah didn't live by the word of God and live for his self-centered life, in the meantime, Tamar, the Canaanite woman, even though she was a Canaanite, she tried to live by the word of God, which she listened from her Abraham's family. This is the things we need to be challenged from the Dhamma, and we need to learn from her. But only the things are a little bit sad is she chose the method she took to implement God's promise. Rather than choose the biblical solution, she just choose the something deceitful solution. That's a little bit sad. So in our daily life, we also choose the holy method rather than worldly, the way to keep this promise and live by the word of God. The things we shouldn't forget, even though the Canaanite woman, and also we are irreversible sinner, we should hold on to the covenant and obey to the word of God. So God is not searching for our ability, but only the faith we trust in Him. Even though people living in a broken life, He is the one make good in unity. Oh, if you think I've been all ruined my life and cannot reversible, you think, through the Jacob's and the Judah's life, we can repent and go back to the presence of God. And He will save us. He will raise us up as He created us and the glorious thing. So Judah, who's supposed to be separate from the Canaan culture, and then he get into the culture of the Canaan, even though after he corrupted, and then finally he repented, and when he repent and come back to God, God is forgive him, and also he makes the Judah as the family line of the Christ. So we'll continue the Joseph story in the following week.